We're going.
I'm sorry. Okay. Good evening. I'm Kathy Schlatter. I'm the director of the Human Services Coalition. And with me is
Nancy Burson, associate director.
As you can see on your schedules, we have a two-part presentation. I will go first, presenting for the Human Service Coalition, and then Nancy's going to talk about the agencies that go through our review process, and I'm sure I won't be able to avoid chiming in. So, I have to press the button, see? I get more intimidated about going after Greg Potter than I do about talking about him. I think he should go last, so nobody has to be compared. Anyway. So, just to give people a heads up, we actually do not have any over-target requests in this year's budget. We did the 6.9 reduction, and which I'll show you later, how that translates to our budget. So I thought I would just do a little primer about the programs of the coalition. So the mission of the Human Service Coalition is to identify information service needs, to provide planning coordination, and to enhance the delivery of health and human services in the Tompkins County area. As most of you know, we have three major programs, which are all getting slashes now because they're growing. So we have the Health Planning Council, which because of Health Planning Council, we'll also have the Tompkins Health Network. And information referral is our second program, which is also our 211 for the county, and human service planning. Okay. So I'll talk a little bit about the Health Planning Council. Its mission is to improve the health status of Tompkins County community by promoting the development of needed health services and resources, by increasing access to health, and securing external funding for new initiatives that involve collaboration of multiple organizations. So one of the things they did this year is they, along with a number of other agencies like COFA and Lifelong, Better Housing, they wrote a grant, secured funding from the Community Foundation of Western Central New York for to develop and implement a falls prevention program. Turns out that falls are the number one reason why people call for an ambulance and for the EMS people, and this grant is to work, you know, with doctors and communities and seniors to help people try to avoid falls in their homes. Better housing will be part of it, and help look at the homes and help make the houses more secure for seniors. Through its voucher program, the Urgent RX program, which gives vouchers for prescription medications to people who present at CUGA Medical or the Health Alliance, convenient care, people who don't have any insurance, so it gives you a voucher for your prescription medications. In 2009, it saved the recipients $81,132. They also conduct outreach to people to see if they can help them, connect them with any kind of available health insurance. And also this year, they got licensed, and their only organization is licensed to do the Stanford Model Chronic Self-Disease Management Program. They got grants so they can offer the six-week workshop and courses, materials free to charge Tompkins County residents. It is to help people manage chronic disease. And all these things are preventative to help keep down the cost of health care. Information referral services, our 211. They maintain an up-to-date database of community information and provide a central 24/7 telephone information service that brings people with needs together with services to address those needs. The 211 calls have doubled in 2009 from the previous year. And two of the things we're proud of this past year for 211 is they screened and helped schedule 1,925 volunteer income tax appointments, and that's the VITA program. The people who get their income tax done in the community, they go through 211 to screen and schedule those appointments. They also did screening for almost 1,000 households for the Housing First program, and that's a collaborative effort with Catholic Charities, DSS, and Tompkins Community Action. Human Service Planning. The mission of Human Service Planning is to assess the human service needs of the community, to make recommendations, which is what we're doing here, to address areas of need or deficiency, to encourage cooperation and collaboration among providers, and to develop a well-organized human service delivery system. We also facilitate non-profit capacity building through coordinated grant writing, technical assistance, and training. I want to talk a little bit about our workshops that we've had this past year. They also keep the attendance of the workshops keeps increasing. In our last season, so we have a kind of like school season, we call the fall, spring season, we trained 450 different individuals, and they represented 116 different organizations. We also finished the Compass 2.0, that was a community-wide needs assessment, which we do in partnership with United Way. And during the Compass, it takes about a year to complete this, and we actually end up interviewing over 1,000 residents to talk about the needs in the community. And we're also the lead agency for the Ithaca-Tompkins County Continuum of Care, and that is a grant that brings in about $250,000 a year into Tompkins County, and it supports housing and services for homeless individuals and those in danger of being homeless. Okay, the total expenditures. Follow along myself. For 2010, you can see we've had pretty self-explanatory. Our budget goes down a little bit. We constantly are writing grants. But we went from, in 2009, we had 10 FTEs. We went down to 9.4 in 2010, and we'll be down to about 9 in 2011. This is the county share. I did this by program, and just because I thought it was interesting, I threw in 2009 because we've been looking at cuts in each of the years. Like everybody else you hear from, the vast majority of our expenses are personnel, over 80%. So the $24,000 cut we took this year, added to the $27,000 cut and change from last year, equals about $51,325 reduction in county funding over 2 years, and that equates to about one FTE in the coalition. Some of the impacts of the reduction in county funding, I just picked out a few. I talked a little about the continuum of care, which brings in the $250,000 a year. That is a HUD program. It requires a lot of meetings. We write the grant for them. That's the Homeless and Housing Task Force is part of that continuum, so they meet every other month. And there is no admin money for this. The $250,000 just all goes to support housing in Tompkins County. So that's the kind of things we can do because we get support from the county. Also, the providing the scheduling service for the VITA tax program costs us a lot more than they give us a small stipend, but it costs us a lot more to do that than they can afford to give us. Also, the community outreach we do, the community access, our ability to talk with people about other possible sources of health insurance or helping them with prescription medications. Those are the things that could be in jeopardy. We also took Tompkins Health Network also took a cut in their state funding to that program. So I think that's about it. Anybody have any questions? It is what it is.
Kathy, I'm not too familiar with the income tax screening and scheduling. Who do we schedule and screen? Who do we screen and schedule them with? Is that the AFCU program?
It is. Okay. It is. That's the program. And we do so they call 211. We screen for eligibility for the program, and then they actually worked out a method where they can have the alternative database right on their screens, the volunteers, and then they just schedule people for appointments. Really helped them a lot. That whole program runs with one person and volunteers, and they just didn't have time to do that. They were able to eliminate their walk-ins, which saved a lot of time. So it was a collaboration that worked really well for both sides. But they don't have a lot of money. They're not allowed to charge a fee, the VITA program, by law, so they don't have a lot of money to run the program either. So.
Thanks.
Here, Martha.
Quick question. I'm not really familiar with the 211 program. I have a vague idea what it is. But do you run a call center where there are volunteers? Is it a three-shift thing? How many people work in it?
Okay. We do run a call center. There are 2.5 FTEs that run the call center, and then it's managed by, so one is a call center manager, one half-time person, and a big portion of the program manager just do the tech part around it, because the database has to be kept up to date constantly.
Right.
And then the people who be on the phones are all volunteers, so we train them. It is local from 8 to 5, and then it switches over to Rochester. So you get they have our database, so you get a human being anytime you call 24/7.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Can you go back to the slides on expenditures, total expenditures, and then county share?
That one?
Maybe even without the slides. So is the difference between those two the grants that you get?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's over 50% of our budget is grants. I should say grants, we get funding from the city, United Way, the town of Ithaca, and the village of Groton.
Okay. So county money is less than half your budget?
Right around half, a little less than half.
Okay.
And our budget, grants come and go, a lot of them are one time, so it's every year it will look a little different.
So you've made staff cuts since 2009. Are there any other cuts that aren't showing up in the FTE numbers? Anything else that you've cut in that time?
Yeah, we've cut our non-personnel back to just like everybody else. We don't go anywhere anymore. You cut that back. You look at supplies. Do you really need to make that copy? We don't mail much anymore. And, we changed our health insurance plan last year, which saved a lot. We've taken cuts to about every other area we can try to save staff.
So you're not on our insurance?
No, we are not.
You don't have county benefits?
No.
No. So that's the good news and the bad news. But all right.
Good for you, bad for us.
Right. And okay. Now, I know the 211 service. I mean, I guess a year and a half ago there was a major crisis, and the money was from the state was pulled, and it seems like it's certainly been resurrected from the dead, and actually seems to be finding more and more uses. I mean, sort of shared, it seems to be an operation that more and more agencies are finding a reason to go to you.
We did lose all the state funding last year for it. So we have been working in collaboration with a number of agencies trying to either consolidate call centers or take over some of the responsibilities from either agencies or, departments. Because we do have, it's a call center that's staffed all day long with people sitting at the phones, and they can answer calls, they can, respond to things, and it can take some of the, burden, but not to look at as a burden answering a question, but somebody who's doing casework or line work then has another option for getting back and getting back quickly to the people they work with. So.
So you said there's one staff person on that, and the rest are volunteers?
There is a program manager, a call center manager, and a half-time tech person.
Okay.
And, you know, like a lot of small agencies, the half-time tech person and the program manager also are the tech people for the rest of us in the agency. So, it, you know, they're...
Thank you.
I had Frank Carroll and then another hand back there. Okay, well, Kathy, if we wanted to add something to 211, how would you determine how much capacity they have? I heard you say that there's 2.5 FTEs there, but depending upon what it would be that some of us might be interested in adding, how would you determine? Is there a gauge that you use? The types of calls that one would take?
I must be, I'm not understanding the question. How would we determine what type of staff or what type of person we would ask?
No. How do you determine, you said that there's some capacity there to do some more things. How would you determine if it's appropriate to, what may be appropriate to add? If some of us have an idea about what we'd like 211 to take over, how would you make that determination?
I'm just going to give a little to Fran Spatafora Mansell, who's our call center manager, sitting back there. So I'm trying to say what she would want me to say. It would be, we determine, they can determine like eligibility, certain eligibilities. They're not going to go in depth about whether somebody is eligible for a program, but if they're programs that have basic income guidelines, can do that.
I'm not asking you to make a determination as to whether the caller is eligible for something. If we had a program that, and we wanted to eliminate a duplication of effort, if we have 211 and then we have another program that provides a similar service, and some of us may be interested in having 211 take over that service instead of having two programs do that, how do you determine if you have the capacity to assume that other program?
If it's a program that where you basically you're giving out information to somebody, then we basically, you know, you try to estimate how many calls would that be. Right now, we have the capacity to increase our call level. We have four or five stations. I'm
Where
looking
is
at Fran that are available with somebody sitting at them all the time. So we have capacity to increase our calls. If it's basic information that can be kept in the database, mm-hmm. then we can do it. We can, you know, give that information out to the caller if that's the appropriate way to have the information given.
Thank you.
Carol, then Will.
Two questions. Is there federal or state grant money or program money that would be available for the kind of thing that you do?
It was 211 was funded with state money. We thought it was appropriate. That went down. We are now part of what is funding them is money that came through the state Housing First grant. That will go away next year. So we are looking for contracts. There are state money.
I'm talking for
health
basic
planning council.
Your basic health planning.
Right. Health planning council just.
Or
I'm allowed to talk
HSC.
About this. They got a grant. The grant for $100,000 last year. We just got word that we got another large multi-year grant that I'm not allowed to talk about.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I didn't do it. But
you didn't hear that, Kathy.
I didn't hear that. You didn't hear that here. So, yeah, we apply for whatever state grants we...
Yeah, I'm talking about for basic human services coalition.
The problem is those grants, you have to do something with that money.
Right.
So you have to, you know, it's...
Right.
Nobody actually...
Okay.
You have operating funds that always put you out, but they expect you to spend those funds on the program that you're going to be doing for them. So, you know, there's some overhead, but grants notoriously are getting stingier and stingier with their overhead.
Mm-hmm. So, and then I'm also wondering, is there any way that the county could take another look, you and the county, somebody in the county, could take another look at whether there are in-kind services that we could be providing you with that would be easy, that we aren't, that we just haven't thought about doing until now, whether that be, or other ways you can piggyback on what we do, whether that be the health insurance, if that's something you provide for your employees, and whether you can be in our group, or whether that be, I don't know, the point is not to go through the list with somebody who knows more than I do, purchasing, space. It's not centrally located, which is probably more ideal, but we probably have some space sitting out in one of our outlying buildings that I think is a little bit underutilized, and we haven't found the right use.
I'm happy to have those conversations with, yeah, with whomever has those answers. Yeah.
Rather than keep squeezing you.
I know we talk a lot about whether the agencies could ever be combined in the, you know, health consortium, and I know right now that there are some laws against that, but that would be great. I mean, the health insurance is and probably continue to be a really real burden for small agencies.
I believe the health insurance question is because you're not a municipal corporation.
I think that's true. Yes, but
I'd
like to expand that.
Okay. Will.
Are there organizations such as yours in other counties?
There are. Not every county, but some counties.
Is there a generic term for that kind of what you do, or is it called human services?
Planning councils.
Planning councils.
Yeah, there. We belong to a national association of planning councils. It's not huge, but
right.
There's a big one in Corning.
Okay. And if I read you correctly, or I understood correctly, you're down by 0.4 of a FTE. And you said the impacts that you said were possible impacts. Is this because much of your funding is based on grants that may or may not happen, and so you don't really know?
Right. We're still, I mean, we know that if we're down, we're going to have to cut out some services, and so we just keep writing grants that gets us through another year. You know, and then we'll be saying the same thing next year. It gets us through a year. You know, the workshops we put on, they were grant funded, and that money's run out pretty much. But they're very successful, and they just keep, you know, people keep coming, and people want more and more. So they come. We did our board basics today for the, you know, third year in a row. We had to shut off. It was oversubscribed. We're going to do another one. So we'll look for money to try to keep those going.
Okay. Thank you.
I had Pat and then Peter.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you for the information. Is it part of your goal as an organization, or is it one of the things that you do in planning to look at overlap among agencies or ways that agencies might collaborate on, as Carol brought up the possibility of in-kind services, but I'm thinking more in terms of the various member agencies looking at ways that they might among themselves share expenses for various things and reduce costs in that way. Is there ever a recommendation that, for instance, that agencies would merge because their mission is very similar?
We do have those conversations a lot, and those conversations go on in a couple different venues. We look for cost cutting. I think there's not as much duplication as people might think there are, and most of the agencies that are here, they really exist on shoestrings. They have the cheapest rent or no rent because people have donated buildings for them. They really know how to stretch a dollar, but a lot of them are being hit by cost cut, by funds. State, everybody, you know, that we talk to here that you're going to hear about got hit by the county. So we have those conversations, and we've started to have them again about, you know, what may be able to connect with something else. And it might not even be a merger It would be, I mean, I know we just kind of use that term loosely, but it could be just kind of looking at the type of clients that you serve and a better way to connect those clients. But we have those conversations a lot, and we'll continue to this year, probably. And like everything, you know, when funding gets tight, it intensifies the conversation. So, yeah.
Peter?
I guess I don't really understand your the Human Services Coalition, so this is not obviously not the place for me to learn about it. But I'm wondering, this may be a silly question, but I'm wondering why you're not a part of the county organization. It's social services in the county, and that's the business the county is in. So why are you a separate organization? And would there be any advantage, if there's no bar against it, would there be any advantage to your being in it?
The organization is about 35 years old and was actually founded. The county and the city and the school district and the town got together and founded this organization. It's always run like this. I will talk. I mean, sure, I'm willing to have that conversation. I don't know what the original thinking was behind why it was a separate organization. But I mean, we used to be pretty much 80% county funded.
And now you're how much county funded?
Probably about 50%. Now, the organization itself is bigger than it used to be.
Right.
Because we've gotten some outside grants in to run different programs. So now it's about 50%.
But even county offices are not 100% county funded, right? I mean, what percentage are you county funded?
Half.
So roughly the same, right. So that's not a bar against it, is what I'm just saying.
Yeah, I sure.
Martha, Brian, someone else over here. Frank, do you have your hand up?
It depends on what Martha says.
Okay.
Ooh, let me think.
Go ahead.
A partial answer to your question, Peter. I'm pretty sure United Way wouldn't donate to a county department, for one. Mm-hmm. The city might, you know, we might still maintain a city share. If you look at, you know, that's part of all of this. And so it's...
Right, there's a certain amount of autonomy, you know.
Yeah, and
making
and
us a kind of a neutral advocate by being... Pardon me?
That's the reason.
Yeah.
It was 35 years ago, because of the autonomy and the objective.
Right, it makes us... I mean, the Health Planning Council, I think it's one of their absolute strengths. Is they get everybody to the table kind of on a neutral site and have these conversations over just countywide health care. And we're not representing anyone in particularly. So, and I think that's a real advantage.
And they're run by a board with community members as well as department heads, and that's a good mix.
O'Brien.
Thank you, Jim. Hi, Kathy. You are proposing a 0.4 FTE reduction with no over-target request. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
Frank, do you feel?
Yeah, I feel a lot of
an urge to ask the question.
An urge.
Okay.
An urge. But just so everyone heard what Kathy said, that it was formed from an autonomous. With an autonomous objective, so they could really be objective on those four entities. Part two, the Health Planning Council. When some of us joined this board, we were associated with a coalition out of Syracuse, and Hugh Hurlbut was our representative to that group, and we kicked in about $35,000 or $40,000 a year for health planning services. And we never got that kind of value back. And we were members for a long time. That's why we decided to sever our ties, go with the Health Planning Council. And that was well, there were two predecessors to Betty that I remember, and it's worked out very well because they're very objective, and every year we try to give them more money, but they won't take it for some reason. But just a little more history.
Syracuse, that's, see, that's, I didn't know that history.
And your question is?
Are you happy with the services that the county is providing regarding the Health Planning Council?
I find we have a very good relationship with the county.
Okay, Jim, was that?
That's good.
Good.
Leslie.
Kathy, I have a question about the community agencies. How do community agencies become a part of the coalition, and how do they leave? Do they just opt in and out themselves?
Do you mean the ones that go through the review process?
Yes.
Or the ones that go through the review process, right, every year we start at about March. We put out an RFP. We usually advertise it, and anybody can approach us for funding. They come in a couple different ways. I know that sometimes people come directly to a legislature, and the legislature say, you know, you should go through the coalition process, and that's frequently how we hear from people.
So you do a review of the agencies are here. You do a review of their budgets, and you make a recommendation to the county on funding levels for these agencies.
Right, and Nancy's going to talk about the agencies.
I'll just shut my mouth and wait.
Frank was doing a little history. I was actually on the city council in the 70s when this all started. And the question you asked, Leslin, about the agencies, that was one of the primary functions of the group, because there were so many agencies asking the city and the county and everyone for money, why don't we put this together and they can screen the applications and then make recommendations to the municipality. So that's what I remember.
It's true.
Thank you. Any other questions about the HSC, and then we would have Nancy do the agency review. Okay, go ahead.
Nancy, you've got to use that microphone.
Okay.
Please.
How do we get the?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. I remember what Kevin said. See.
As I said earlier, is that right? Okay. I'm Nancy Burson, the Associate Director of the Human Services Coalition, and sadly, I've been around. I remember a whole lot of this history, too, although I wasn't here for the very beginning, but I've worked here about 21 years, I think. So that's pretty long. And let me jump right in, because Kathy promised she wasn't going to take very long. For the review, what I'm going to say, first of all, I'm not going to talk about everything on these slides, and I'm not going to talk about a lot of detail about 17 different organizations. I think it's more interesting if you have specific questions that we can answer now or follow up with. I did want to point out that there are a few of the agency directors here. When there's something that's really specific that we're not, if you have time, you want to ask. I know Chris Sancherico from Catholic Charities and Dami Hareth from Women's Opportunity Center and Bill Hawley from Lifelong. And it could be somebody else back there that I missed. Just as a quick review, and I know that you have these on your own booklets. You can read this when you want to look at it. But the review process criteria, even though there are a number of agencies that come back every year, the committee is very thorough in looking at a lot of different factors when reviewing the organizations. And in terms of new members, we have had in recent years a couple of new members come in, new applicants. There was a time a few years ago when there actually was a pot of money set aside for 2 or 3 years for new requests. Those days have gone by. So now it means we pretty much have to work it within the pool of money that is available to recommend, which is partly county funding and partly city. And that's been a formula for the last 15 years or so. So if I just have to get used to the clicker. All right. We have a small but very thorough review committee of volunteer people in the community that work on the requests every year, and we will be and we will be looking, we are always looking for some new members on that committee too. Just to jump right in, and I tried when we were going over this and during the day and thinking about this, I was thinking that there are so many differences with the organizations that we review, but then there are a lot of similarities too. What you're going to see up here is a brief sentence or two about the organizations. We collect huge amounts of information from people. We meet with them. We have written materials. And they also, most of them, were able to come here and do brief presentations at the privilege of the floor in the past few months, so you heard a little bit from them. And of all the agencies, of all 17 agencies that we're reviewing, we did pass along the 6.9% cut in target that we were directed to do, and we have one over-target request out of all of these, and that's sort of a special case with Neighborhood Legal Services. But we'll get to that one when we get there. So to start right off with Advocacy Center, I was thinking this is a good example of an organization that's been around for a while, developed some core programs that really meet the needs of people in the county and honed them down to be very responsive and very beneficial to the residents. And now they are facing some pretty serious cuts, which would jeopardize some of these programs that have been took kind of years to develop. And this is alphabetical, so it doesn't really, the order is only an alphabetical order. But as we mentioned earlier, the Alternatives Venture Fund, it's a different kind of impact here. They use many, many volunteers, so they have very little staff costs, although they have been utilizing an AmeriCorps Vista person, and they won't have that next year. They're hoping to have it the following year again. But this saves residents all through the county huge amounts of money, and it helps them not only save money but get more tax refunds than they would ever have been able to do without the program. And again, this is a little different because it's a new program. I mean, to us. The VITA program isn't that new. I know, but if I hold it there, I can't see. the next one, alphabetically, is American Red Cross Friendship Center. This, especially to new members who know that the county is involved with reimbursements for the shelter and a number of other things with Red Cross, but this process is simply for the Friendship Center. There's a little history of that, too. It was a standalone, very small organization, and it was one of those times that they came to the Human Services Coalition, it was quite a few years ago, and worked with them to find a home because they were just too small to maintain a board and accounting and payroll and all of that. And they wanted to do the service, but they didn't want to have to figure out all of that on their own, so they were able to go under, merge with Red Cross. And no one knew in the beginning how it was going to work, but I think it's proven that it actually complements what Red Cross does with the shelter and helping to provide some service for the people who drop in and use the center, but also help prevent people from having to spend time in the shelter, too. So we think that works. And they're one of the organizations, too, that has had many of these organizations have contracts with the county, say with DSS. This is one where the DSS case management contracts were cut in 2010. So far, they still do have a DSS contract for the Friendship Center, which so far is maintained.
Nancy, excuse me, if you can highlight on page 141 of our big book, there it shows the 2010 amount and then the 2011 request. For each of these, you've got, can you tell us what the cut will mean as you go through? I see for the Alternatives Venture Fund, does that mean that this cut will mean they will lose the support for the VISTA?
Not this cut. I think the cut, the 6.9% cut was on the pool of funding and only the county share of the pool of funding. Uh-huh. The county share is about 52%, I believe, and 48% city. It used to really be one-third, two-thirds. The city share of the target funding has been increasing over the years. And so that cut and then was on the entire pool. The committee, one of the things the committee did, rather than go through and cut across the board, they made decisions. They had to, in a way, when you think about there were some new requests that were coming out of that same funding. So in some cases, there were some organizations that may have had a bigger percentage cut and some that had a lesser, depending on that. What I have is the total numbers for the agency. I'm not even sure if that's what's on this sheet. I have so many breakdowns of how these things work, but what we do know is for each organization that goes through our process, what their amount was in 2010 and what it will be in 2011. maybe I'm one of these or I'm one of those in the book.
Right. I guess what I'm asking is if you can tell us what will be lost in each of those. I don't know if you know that.
We try to show some of the losses, but that's one of the things that's tricky about this. Some organizations like OAR, which I should point out is in our group, even though the funding stream is different, they are largely funded with the most of any of the agencies that we look at, the local county share. Some of the organizations have a very small percentage, and some are all over the map and in between. So to pinpoint this 6.9% was caused this cut, lots of times, I'll tell you one, we've talked to almost every agency in the last few days to get some high points and some updates. I started to make a list. I forgot to bring it all in with me. But the common terms were, okay, in the worst case scenarios, it was our whole funding situation, it's devastating. It's awful. It's just falling apart. On other ones, it's being chiseled away. It's the house of cards. It's if I lose one more little piece, the whole row of dominoes is going to tip over. I mean, those are the kind of descriptions that people were saying. So what we're seeing is it's a patchwork of funding sources for organizations who have evolved over years in this community responding to needs and little pieces. In this case, it might just be a bump. In this piece, it might be the final straw. So hope that helps. The next one, alphabetically zooming through, Better Housing for Tompkins County, is one of those. It's a fairly large organization in terms of some of the funding that they do with housing. This particular thing through this process is just for the mini home repair program, which is a very well-liked and needed program, but it's small in relationship to their overall. Cancer Research Center, Finger Lakes, they get a very small amount of their whole budget from the county. They've been trying for years to obtain more state funding with, unfortunately, not much luck lately especially. They do a great job with fundraising. And they have expanded both to the kinds of cancers that they help people suffering from different sorts of cancer and multi-county region now. The Catholic Charities, and Chris is here. Actually, there's two screens for this one because I couldn't get another one. But Chris has the Samaritan Center, which is a part of the Catholic Charities programming that serves many people with many needs. It's listed on your screen and also in the impact forms that you got and also in the program description that you have in your book. They are definitely facing cuts right now along with the county. They're also facing the $34,000 cut from DSS just in the Samaritan Center. And the Immigrant Services, which has been developing in the past few years, again, in direct response to a need in the community and being being provided to Catholic Charities because it isn't being provided anywhere else, and they're trying to work with other people who are seeing the same residents. And that is very small number of FTEs for that program. It's one FTE, and so money is very tight for that program, too. And like I said, if you want to come back to that, you can.
Jim, should I take questions? Or you,
are
you in
you,
charge?
Do you want to take questions?
Okay. I saw a hand.
If you want to, go ahead, Peter.
Again, I'm trying to put this together. But we went to a budget hearing last night at the library, and I only heard two things. One thing had to do with youth services in the towns, and the other had to do with Catholic Charities. And as soon as I saw that, I wondered exactly what I'm doing. I mean, are we as a county legislature going to make decisions about each one of these agencies when we? I gathered from the fact that people were asking us from Catholic Charities that they were expecting us to make a decision about how much money Catholic Charities get from somebody or other. So is that going to be true of all of these things here?
Well.
Each one of these agencies that goes through our review process has a separate line in your budget. We make a recommendation about all of them, and Joe accepted the recommendation. So they're in, as we set forth, they're in the county administrator's budget. But the agencies also have contracts with departments. This particular one is an OTR for the Department of Social Services. So you will have to make a decision about all of them. But that one is an OTR, a non-recommended, if that's what you call OTR. So
it's coming at you from both directions.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
I do want to say that we will never discourage a county legislator for wanting to increase any agency's funding that we think is in need in this process, but we're coming through with no OTRs, no target increases requested with this pool of money for this year, just the one-time multi-year OTR. Another organization is Community Dispute Resolution Center, and this one is right now pretty solid. They did lose some school contracts, but they're maintaining well for this year and probably next year. A lot of these organizations are saying they're trying to look ahead because they're not sure what it's going to bring. Drop-In Children's Center has really kind of reorganized themselves in the last few years. As you probably know, they've been here before. They are maintaining their budget, not asking for an increase. They have more DSS clients that have DSS subsidies. Their biggest challenge, like it says there, is they're trying to increase the pay levels for their employees. They do pretty well with benefits and other flexible things that they allow them. But yeah.
Someone told me, and I'm wondering if this is the case or not, that the Drop-In Children's Center is only available to residents of the city, that it's not a county service. So if I live out in Lansing, that
no,
we can't use
no.
it.
No. In fact, we have, and I have a big box of stuff with me that I usually bring into the room, but I thought I didn't have time to paw through it while I was on camera. One of the things we ask everybody is the what we call the geographic distribution of clients served. We ask all the organizations that go through this process to report how many different people they're served in each town. And if you're interested in that, we can find that for about anybody. Some years we do a total of it, but that's so no, it's not just for city. No. The next one, this is kind of interesting too. Alphabetically, these end up on the same page, but the Food Distribution Network and Loaves and Fishes are probably pretty well known to everyone here. The Ithaca Health Alliance Free Clinic is getting better known as the newest to be in this pool of organizations. What they do have in common too, that they both utilize volunteers to a great degree. The Food Distribution Network is almost entirely volunteers. Now, there are a couple of exceptions. If someone at Red Cross or someone at Tompkins Community Action has a piece of their job to do with the food pantry. But for the most part, it's volunteers throughout the county. Same way with Loaves and Fishes. They do have small staff, but it's great use of volunteers. All the funds that come through from this process goes to a line of credit at the Food Bank of the Southern Tier, so it just helps increase the amount of food that's available to pass out. The Ithaca Health Alliance Free Clinic, they're just opening. They're just announcing their move to their new space. And I was going to try and get a hold of the director today just to get an update. When I talked to her a couple of weeks ago, her quote to me was I said, how are you doing with the numbers? She says, the numbers are just staggering and they're increasing. Of course, Kathy said, what are the numbers? I was like, well, I'm sure she has it, but I could get that for you. But they are definitely meeting a need, and they use a lot of professional volunteers, doctors, nurses, and all kinds of interns to be able to serve the people that they serve. Lifelong, Bill Hawley is also here. They are one of the organizations, I think, with that patchwork of funding. They have a variety of programs, but a number of funding streams which are sort of chopped across the programs, and if one funding stream goes away, then that can jeopardize the whole program. And the same thing with the staffing is very small. So also losing funding can jeopardize a staff person, which would jeopardize the program. So they're kind of different and the same. Multicultural Resource Center is one of the smallest organizations that goes through our process. For quite a few years, it was struggling with maintaining itself, being so small, although trying to find its best niche and what services were needed in the community. In recent years, it's been getting support from Cooperative Extension, Tompkins County, in terms of, and listed on their number of things that they were able to kind of stabilize their core support so that they can maintain their services. But they are facing, they did receive a cut through this process, and they only have 1.75 FTEs, and they are very afraid if they go down to the 1.4 for next year. It doesn't sound like much, but when you're that small an organization, that means it's jeopardizing programs if they're going to be trying very hard to do more fundraising and try to see if they can maintain that position. Neighborhood Legal Services, Greg Thomas was just here, I think about a week ago, and gave an update to this group about what they're doing. They've been in existence also, I think Greg said, for 32 years in DeWitt Mall, providing legal assistance to low-income individuals. We do the information referral 2-on-1 line, and it always has been and still is a need in the community for low-income assistance. They help save the county money. They help save the residents money. The $10,000 is the one OTR, which is a one-time, what they call a one-time multi-year OTR, because they have a AmeriCorps VISTA, the Access to Justice Project, that requires a match. With that match, they're able to, it used to be, maintain two paralegals. Now they can maintain four, and they're on a three-year cycle. So this is a $10,000 three-year cycle. This is starting 2011, would be in the next three-year cycle. Southside Community Center, they have also been, I think, in the last couple of years, trying to focus on what programs are really the most appropriate use of the space and their time. I just talked to Olin Mack today to get another update. They had more programming this past summer than they have in the past. They've been also doing some hot food for children in the after-school program. And they don't know yet about their staffing next year. They only get a very small amount of money through this process, but it does help them maintain their programs. And Tompkins Learning Partners, which used to be called Literacy Volunteers, and from the name you know that's highly served with volunteers. I think they're down to about three FTEs. They've gone through over the years funding crises before. Right now they're just sort of tight and hoping they can, as was written here, meet the needs of more people on their waiting lists and maintain where they are. And Women's Opportunity Center, Dami Hirath is here, and of course that's probably one of the biggest hits of any of the organizations in this, which is what I mean that it's different for everybody. And Dami has had the devastating is probably the word of cuts, and not just for next year, this year and next year. I'm sure if you have anything specific, she can fill you in on that. I'm trying to keep going to not go too much over our time limit here. And the sad thing, of course, with the Dami's program, too, it's particularly for helping women mostly in the past, but with job readiness and job development in a time when people really need to have self-sufficiency and be able to support themselves. And then the last one, just to confuse everyone even more, what used to be called Offender Aid and Restoration is now Opportunities, Alternatives, and Resources, OAR, which has also been in existence here. It's kind of a model program of its type in the state. It's been in existence for quite a few years, primarily, mostly funded by this county. They have already had cuts, so they're down to a pretty bare bones level right now. And some of you probably know a little bit about what they do. And one of the things that's most that the county I know recognizes and helps support regularly is the bail fund, because that bails, I think it was 65 people this year that will be bailed out, so that saves the daily costs of boarding people at the jail. There's only about three more slides, and then I can see if there are any other questions. I know this one's small. I couldn't get it to fit any better. This is, you have it probably in your book, and I can also get it to you if it's bigger. But this is showing what we tried to do here for all of these organizations to get their program budgets, not their entire agency budget, for the part of their agency that goes through this process. So you could see the budgets for those programs in 2010, the budgets in 2011, the number of FTEs, and the change. And the only other, let's see, I'm down to the last two.
Could you go back to that one? Yes?
Sure. I know it's too small. It's kind of small unless you have it right in front of you.
You're saying those are their entire budgets?
Right. For the programs. I mean, for example, take American Red Cross. American Red Cross has It has the overall budget, it has a homeless services budget, and it has a Friendship Center budget. So that one we have, that's the homeless services line right there. What's another good example? Some, their whole budget is the Cancer Resource Center. That's their entire budget. Advocacy Center is also their entire budget.
Some agencies use it for general operating, and some use it for a specific program.
Probably about half and half.
I don't have a prayer of reading any of this.
I can send it to anybody bigger.
This one? Yeah,
sure. Okay, but I'm reading it from here, and these are like six big six-figure budgets, but on page 141, we've got much smaller numbers, so I'm really confused.
Because this is their entire budget for the program. I think what you're looking at, I don't have that 141 in front of me, but if that's the one that shows the local share and
yes,
maybe the city share,
yes,
that's city not the whole budget. Share. That's just the city share and the local share.
Please do send us.
I have this spreadsheet that I can send anybody, and I also have the city-county split, which I just updated, and I know Martha loves, and that was just freshly completed, too.
Nancy, both of those would be very helpful.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you have one copy of this that's full-sized now, I...
Well, full size is still not.
Copy it and
you mean the printout of the spreadsheet? I can.
Let's keep going.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just about at the end here. This is where we try to show. There's so many ways you can arrange this, but the local dollar. So this is only the county share, only for the programs that go through our process. It doesn't mean someone isn't getting county money through another DSS or some other contract. And you can see there was a 7% reduction on the pools for both the overall agencies and for OAR, and only the one OTR, which is continuing. And that's what the last, our OTR page is pretty quick. It's just the Neighborhood Legal Services. And that's the end. Okay, I don't know.
Will.
So did I read that, Nancy, correctly, that cumulatively, the total impact on agencies was essentially only a loss of about two FTEs across all of them. Was that a correct reading of that chart? That surprised me that it was that minimal.
That part of it is they don't know yet. Okay, I should say one more thing. It isn't exactly true. Those numbers in preparing this, primarily I took from the applications that they submitted to us earlier in the year. They were all at that time not knowing what the results were going to be. For example, I don't think DOMI's probably Women's Opportunity isn't correct now. A lot of it's unknown. DOMI, and some of it's still unknown. Some of it was, we didn't have it at the time of this. That was what, at the time that we collected the information, that's what they were expecting. But now it's either lower or they still don't know. I don't know if that helps, but we will know eventually, but we just don't have it yet.
Martha.
Well, if I understand to follow up Will's question, the second to last slide you had, Nancy, showed that the total cut.
This one?
Yeah. So the total. No.
It's next to last.
That one.
No.
No, the one, that one.
That one?
No, you missed it.
No.
You were on it.
That one.
That one.
That.
Oh.
So the total change for most of the agencies is 30,000. And then OER, in addition, 11,500. So you're saying two FTEs. I mean, that's roughly.
Yeah, that's showing the reduction in this pool of money going through this process with the 6.9% cut. Right.
But I think in many cases the actual dollars cut, if you're looking at our page 141, the actual dollars cut in the county are not enough to have supported a person in that chunk alone, but the question is what, and each one has a different answer about what piece is that the gravy on top or is it the linchpin? You know, everything falls apart when you pull that. On page 190, on this page, you've got the list, and I see Catholic Charities Samaritan Center, but I don't see Catholic Charities Immigrant Services on here.
That's combined from last year. It was just put on one line. I've been trying to do all of them in one line to make it just more. We used to have multiple lines for all of these organizations. It's just, but I know we tried to describe the services as the piece, the immigrant services piece, as being different services from the Samaritan Center itself.
Okay, thank you.
Leslie and Brian.
So I appreciate that, because that's why I was asking about the agencies. I noticed that some were obviously missing. I have a question on 141, which you said you don't have.
No, we do.
You do now? Yeah. So there's the rollover additional sales tax piece here, and I wondered if that has any relationship to what comes below. So, for example, the county has a sales tax agreement with the city, and Southside Community Center gets. Is that that money, or is this additional? The Southside is just asking for some more money,
and
here it is.
I didn't even pay attention to that one. It's funny because that's so close to the same amount. Southside is one of those exceptions to the rule that at the time the municipal sales tax was drawn up, for whatever reason, I think it was because Southside was so visible and serving so many city residents that they were added as a separate line to this whole municipal sales tax agreement.
Right.
Now they do get a little through here, and honestly, without looking at my numbers, I'd have to think that we don't see that at all to Southside. So that, I'm thinking, must be that's our city sales tax piece. I can't tell you the answer totally without taking it home and looking at it again. With the city sales tax too, and I'm never quite sure. I think I'm not even sure with your numbers here if they sometimes put in the one time in that column, where I'm always sometimes you do one time, sometimes you do target.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It just sort of confused me because I don't remember seeing a separate number for Southside. And I was just wondering.
Oh,
that's all right.
Oh,
I'll get the answer.
O'Brien.
Coming through here. Yeah, that's the line. That's the south side that comes through here. That little line. That small line.
That small line.
Yes. That is what
that is
part of this.
From the sales tax agreement.
Well, it's a different part of the sales tax.
It's a different part of the
sales tax. Yes.
I think I might have gotten there.
Yeah, sorry.
Might have.
It does.
Are we getting some additional documentation that's going to clear up some of this stuff? Is that what I heard?
Well, I have a couple of easily can give you a larger version of that spreadsheet because it's hard to read. And I know Martha, I was kidding because she always likes to see the city-county split. And, in fact, the city-county split in the end is a percentage of from the pool. And it depends every year on what the city sales tax is and what the county decides to approve. I mean, some years we request OTRs and we might get them, and that changes the county share of that.
Okay.
That's about it. I mean, otherwise, the other things you have to describe everything are the program description pages and the impact statements.
Yep. So we're going to be getting those, and really the only OTR is this $10,000 OTR
one time,
and that will keep that funded for the next 3 years.
It's a multi-year one time, which there aren't too many of those, but it is a one. It's not target.
Right? Okay. Great. Thanks.
I turned over page 141, and these are copied, so they have to do this way instead of this way.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Boy, Kevin, you did it again.
So if you look at 2010 modified budget, and it looks like the county share in all this is 479,804, and the 2011 amount is going to be 419,235. So it appears we're cutting $60,000 total. Is that right?
Well, this page was just redone, and I've got to double check it again. It should be showing. That's what I'm saying. I'd have to look at this to make sure. Does 2010 include one time? I see. I have to know. I have to sit down and really compare it to see whether it has one time in there or not.
Okay. And the reason I'm asking is,
I know we did cut the correct amount. I think it was about 30 altogether, I think, from.
You think it's a 30?
And sometimes you see we do the whole pool with the. Well, it depends on how we're reporting. I think it's probably the one time problem.
Ain't nothing simple.
Right.
So my question is, so if you can find out what the apples to apples is, and sorry, Peter's not here, but for example, we have the authority, of course, not just to approve OTRs, but we can say, we can go to this page and say, you know what, we're going to put $30,000 back in to make you guys, to make these agencies whole compared to 2010 or something. I mean, or we can say, here's $100,000 or what. So that's another option. I'd be interested in getting a clear number of target funding. What's the What's the total cut?
That up there shows you the target funding exactly from 10 to 11. And it was 6.9% cut on the two pools. And one for the OAR. Unfortunately, with OAR, there's only one line, so there's no
pool.
No pool. But the other ones, the other 16 agencies, it was across the total. It was 30,122 that was cut. So that is the amount. That's target. So if that's different, it probably is some other explanation why it's different on that point.
Thank you.
And Leslie.
I have a request that I would like to know from the agencies if they have the ability to charge fees. For example, I saw alternatives cannot.
Right.
What do they charge and what's their success rate in terms of fees?
What's the what rate?
How successful they are at getting those fees. What does it look like? I'm really interested in that. For some of the services, I know not all of it, you know, can probably charge a fee, but I'm interested in as many of them as possible.
I know, for example, Lifelong is here. Bill Hawley's in the back, and they, over the years, have actually been charging more fees.
Right.
In the old days, they may not have charged much. I think there was maybe a little cup that said donate, and now their fees. I don't know if you need Bill to fill that in, but there are other ones we can go through.
The quick answer to that really quickly for us at least is our activities, which is the only part of our program that receives county funding, has a suggested donation for every program. But we also have a policy that no one's turned away. Right. So we get about one-third of what we ask for of the seniors. And right now my board is saying, well, we should be raising our suggested donations. And I say, we can raise it all we want. They can only give what they've got. So we receive about one-third of what we ask.
Do you budget for that?
Huh?
Do you budget for that? Like you put a certain amount?
Yeah, we put the amount that we normally receive in our budget. And if we, you know, if people were able to give what we ask, we'd have.
You get that $100,000 that Martha just talked about.
I did want to just because Tommy's back there. A couple of years ago, she asked for some one-time funding from the county to support the boutique. They gave the one-time funding. The boutique now is self-supporting and also makes enough money to put some funds back into OIR. So that was a really good use
that
of one-time funding.
That is interesting information. So
they trained 40 women and got them jobs last year.
But I'll be looking for more from some of the other agencies.
I think that the answer, too, is it's not necessarily a straight line fee. It's things like Multicultural Resource Center, for example. If they do a training at a business or something, they try to charge a fee for the program they're putting on. And another time they may charge entrance fees if it's an event. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are different ways. I can just say pretty much, I don't know of any agencies offhand. I can't think of aren't probably charging a fee where they can and where it's appropriate to charge a fee. It really varies a lot because when you think about these agencies are primarily serving low-income people. Like Catholic Charities, I don't think they're going to be charging very many fees. But
I work for an organization where I clearly understand that. So I just need the information about what, if they can, and what would it be for, and you know, sort of the success. Sure. Thank you.
Frank and then Carol.
Just a general comment, and something that Jim said before is what reminded me of it. We sort of hire the coalition to do what it is that was described in giving them a pool of money to sprinkle, if you will, and they have to decide with a criteria how these agencies fare in the review. If we're going to start picking certain agencies apart and deciding which ones we want to fund, or as Martha said, give them, you know, put a few bucks here or a few bucks there, we're going to destroy the process, or we're going to intrude onto the process that a lot of us took a lot of time to set up. I remember sitting on those review committees and looking at, we sat in this room on Sunday afternoons reviewing some 20 or 25 or 28, however many agencies are on this list. In those days, it was a little different configuration of the agencies. But as legislators, we went through every single one, every single budget, just what we have the coalition doing. If there's a a mind around this dais to do something. And I'm not saying I'm in favor of it or opposed to it. I would suggest that a majority come together and say, we're going to put up a pool of money, 25 grand, 30, 50, pick a number. Give it back to the coalition and let them go back and sprinkle it over these agencies. Otherwise, we're going to be duking it out here as to what... I have my favorites on this list, and I have some that aren't on this list. And guess what? There are some on this list that, in my opinion, don't need the money as well as others do. Now, that's my opinion. Each of you have your own opinions. So if we're going to, and well, there may be more that we, my question is coming up.
Yeah, well, we're going down a road that I really didn't want to.
Well, I'm just picking up on something that Martha began to say.
All right.
And I'm just cautioning because my committee had to review a lot of these. And Leslie asked a very good question about Southside. And it goes back to that split on the 1.5% plus the overage, that other 1%. It's a very convoluted formula on how it's distributed. Anyway, my question is, what is it that you want us to do? Do you want? Would you want us to give you a block of money to sprinkle over these agencies?
Oh, they're going to say no.
Wait, it's a yes,
ask,
no answer.
Ask a question. Okay. Right?
Martha suggested $100,000.
It's a yes, no answer.
Okay. We can make good use of it. I have one final comment. If you look at the total of the local share of the county up there for 2011, the $429,235, okay, and the amount for OAR, which is, I understand, a higher percentage of their budget, but overall, I think you're getting a really good bang for the buck for that money, and it's hard to picture it could be spent any more thriftily than it already is with the most impact.
I think you had your hand up, right?
I had my hand up. Yes.
Okay. Roll it out.
Thank you for doing this. I'm trying to understand more about which of these, for which of these organizations, you used the term, are the cut is a chip, and for which it is the bottom card in a deck. Or I don't recall any of this house of cards, but you know, it's the bottom card that will tip. Yes, the straw, the last straw.
Well, I think we said, and I think one of the reasons Kristen Cherico and Dami here out there here is I think the Women's Opportunity Center and Catholic Charities are two of the ones that are facing immediate problems, depending on how some of the things go. Say part of it is not knowing yet what county. Contracts will be a little of it is other sources of funding. There are other ones I think we said on the slides if you look that are pretty much, I mean, CDRC, they're doing okay. They did lose some funding, but they're not saying, oh, no, I'm not going to survive next year. No, they're pretty solid for next year. Even Tompkins Learning Partners is very tight, but it's okay for next year. I mean, and it's everything kind of in between.
There are a couple you'll see coming up that have OTR. So it's not just this 7%. It's if the 7% on top of if the OTRs aren't recommended, then things really start to get.
So the one that was moved to make sure that we heard from them last night at our hearing was Catholic Charities. Charities. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to explore a little bit more about that one if I might. First, I want to clear up a question I have about religious affiliation there.
It comes up every
That's
year.
Okay. So just refresh my memory on that, and then I have a question about the dollars. Whichever.
We are a 501c3 human services organization. We have a board of directors. That's a local board of directors. We fall under Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Rochester. There is a connection with the Catholic Church. I don't know how else I can explain that.
There's a totally separate organization, and one of the oldest charities in the country. So, I mean, it's huge, Catholic Charities across the...
But our money doesn't go to fund religious...
No, not at all. No.
Okay.
No.
And then, so then, I don't know how much is appropriate to talk about here versus when we get to the Department of Social Services and their OTR, but I'd just like to understand as background to both of those, the discrepancy in figures that I heard, or just differences in figures, I heard 27,000 and 34,000 last night mentioned, and I heard, I see a $3,000 difference here. Now, I understand, I think, tell me if this is correct, that there are two programs that are funded through either contracts with DSS and the Human Services Coalition funding.
There are three total programs. The Human Service Coalition reviews the Samaritan Center and the Immigrant Services Program. We have a separate DSS contract for two programs, the Samaritan Center and CPS Mentoring, otherwise known as Community Connections.
Okay, so that one's just with DSS, and so we'll hear about that one then.
Right.
So the one that we do a piece here and a piece there,
yes.
Or just do here, what's the amount of the implication here and the amount there? And I don't know, does it appropriate to ask something about the leveraging or the... What do you mean by that being the bottom card?
Okay, I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I actually could grab them, but let me try doing this off of the top of my head.
Excuse me a moment. So that you don't get it wrong, could you get back to her with that information?
I could.
I think that would be a better thing for you to do.
Well, is there something that you'd want to us to hear about this in terms of the piece here and the piece that's not
What you need to know is that the Samaritan Center has about a $250,000 budget. Of that, the county provides, through the Human Services Coalition, anywhere, it's ranged from $22,000 to $45,000 over the past several years. This year it's at about $36,000. Through the Department of Social Services, we have a $34,000 contract that's been cut from over target. Of that, the county provides about $11,000, which is matched by $22,000 from the state. Overall, the county provides us with $47,000 of our $250,000 budget. We leverage that by receiving $130,000 in direct pass-through grant money that goes directly to people in the county for emergency financial assistance. I think that's the best I can do. So you give us a little pot of money. We write grants, just as the Human Services Coalition does. We leverage that funding with not only money, but in-kind volunteer time, clothing donations, personal need product donations. Your money goes a very long way with us. That's the quick and easy.
Thank you. Anything else, Carol?
And just one last question for that. So then our piece of that goes for the staff that puts together the rest
right.
of it.
Right.
And
that's
why
Chris,
it's a bottom card.
That's like Chris said, you know, if we can get $150,000 of pass-through money, but if I don't have a staff person to pass it through,
then
it doesn't go
then
anywhere.
There's no money. We wouldn't even apply for it because we can't distribute.
Anything else about these agencies? Thank you very much, both
Thank
of you.
You. Thanks a lot.
Can I make a request on the slides that we get? For those people who can't hear as well, we magnify. I'd like to request that I get all of them, if I can, large enough to read. Please, because it really puts me at a disadvantage if
I'm
I
sure
can't read them
that.
Even with glasses. Thank you.
They're available online. It's a full-size PowerPoint.
I didn't get them to work in here, though. So.
Because I don't have enough money in my budget for printing? I have to shrink it down to a smaller size.
Okay. Thank you.
It's the Office for the Aging.
Yeah.
I just said to her she was 40 years old when she came in. Now she's 50. And I may have been insulting you at 40. I don't know.
So I'm very aware that I'm the only thing standing between everyone and going home. So I'll try to
be sure.
Okay. So let's see. Lisa Holmes.
Can I just say seriously, we want to hear you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through my presentation. Just want to start by saying I'm very aware of the extreme pressures on the 2011 budget and cognizant that any funding put toward one service means a cut elsewhere. So I'm sensitive to the position that we're all in as a county. And I want to tell you about the pressures on the Office for the Aging's budget and the steps taken and the rationale behind how we put this budget together. So let's see. I'm not going to spend too much time going over our programs because I was just here in late August going over them. As you know, supportive services to older adults and caregivers is something that we do through a variety of services. Our largest subcontract is with the nutrition program, FoodNet Meals on Wheels, the expanded in-home services for the elderly program, or ICEP, which I'll be mentioning is a home care program for frail elders, and the personal emergency response system, the medical alert system that we provide directly to individuals in their homes, individuals who are at risk of falling and other medical emergency. Okay, so I'm just going to then jump right into the meat of the budget. I'll say, too, that this budget was crafted taking into account the feedback that was gathered during that program inventory process in the spring. It involved discussions with our staff and advisory committee members. This slide here looks at our total budget, including federal, state, and county dollars, grant funds, donations, fees, et cetera. When comparing our 2011 budget to 2010, COPA would face approximately $128,000 in cuts, which include county target cuts, projected state cuts, and the loss of one-time member item funds that were granted and then quickly rescinded by the state. Let's see. And this is a look at the Office for the Aging's local share. I'm understanding that the size of these cuts are somewhat understated when you take into account the fringe. I think our target cut was approximately $67,000 that we totaled reduction in local share. I think, too, that this is probably a good place as any to bring up about a $4,000 discrepancy between what we thought was our final target amount and what was keyed into the line items within the PenMation database. We just uncovered this discrepancy, and I'll be mentioning it later as an over-target request that was not in the budget books. Okay. Okay, and now I'm just going to jump into our OTRs and start explaining them. There are 12 in total. And I'm going to follow the number, I hope it's the number order outlined in your budget documents for simplicity's sake. And in this way, the ongoing over-target requests and the one-time requests are intermingled. And I'll just say, too, that I took the approach, and I understood that many departments took this approach to show you all of the areas that where we were experiencing cuts, to outline the cuts and put them all in as over-target requests so that the legislature would see exactly what programs were affected and to what extent we wanted to restore the funding. So you're getting to see it all here. These following six OTRs on this slide were supported by county administration. So the first was to sustain the capacity of the nutrition program to provide essential meal services to at-risk elders. This is a one-time request, $21,375. And again, I'm pointing out one more error, too, that was on my side of this. I thought that this was made as a request for ongoing target funds, as it is an ongoing target expense. It was intended to be that way, but it was keyed in as one time and recommended for one time, and the error was made on my end of things, and I take the responsibility for that and the consequences, but I did want it to be known and the attention behind it in case it comes up again next year.
So you would like it for target?
I would. However, it's recommended for one time. It was intended for an ongoing request, but
On page 14 under department requests, we know what you're saying. We should change one time to target under the request line.
Yes, but I want to say in fairness to the process and to the county administrator, it was keyed into as one time. I thought it was in there as ongoings, and I caught it very late in the game. So, just a reason behind this cut. This includes a cut to New York State funding for the nutrition program under SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and Community Services for the Elderly. Those cuts total approximately $16,375, and then additional county cuts, which we tried to spare additional county cuts, and we whittled them down to $5,000. So coupled together, these cuts would have a pretty severe impact on Food Net's ability to provide quality home-delivered and congregate meal services to seniors. I'm going to move on to number two in the priority here, or in the over target request. It's hard to priority rank these. Number two is a 0.4 full-time equivalent aging services specialist. It's an ongoing target request for $28,371. And this is a two-day-a-week position. The individual coordinates the long-term care ombudsman program, where our volunteer ombudsmen advocate for the health, safety, and welfare and civil rights of people living in nursing homes and adult care facilities. This person also coordinates a powerful tools for caregivers training program for family caregivers of older adults, facilitates a support group, and responds to phone calls and inquiries, and does options counseling for seniors. So if this was not funded, these responsibilities would be transferred to another part-time aging services specialist. And I guess the point here is they're currently on staff. We now only have one full-time aging services specialist, and the remaining employees in this job title are less than full-time equivalents. So with reduced staffing, the office coverage gets more and more difficult with increasing demands. The third...
Would you take a question on that one, please?
Sure.
The on page 46 of our budget book, which you probably don't have, it says aging services specialist. In 2010, it was a 2.8-time position, and in 2011, it's projected to go to 3 FTEs. And does the difference of 0.2, is that the rollover? I'm sorry, the target request on page 15? Or is that?
This is what's requested.
Is that a different person entirely?
I'm not entirely sure on that, Frank. I believe that this is the position in question.
The 2.8 for 2010 going to 3 FTEs in 2011?
No, I'm sorry. No, it's not an increase in a position. It is maintaining a position. So
is the position on page 46 then a different position entirely? Excuse me.
I'm sorry, I can't account for that those numbers because this would I'm going to have to go back and review that and let you know because this would not be increasing in staff time. This would be maintaining staff time. So I can't I can't account for that discrepancy.
Okay.
So right at this point, but I can get to the bottom of it. And I'm glad you brought it up.
Thank you.
Because that's something I want to know too. Okay, the third OTR is a one-time request, and it is for the community living program for the purchase of one-time goods and services for frail seniors at risk of nursing home placement. This is related to the ISIP program and related to OTR number 6. These funds are would be funded through rollover, appropriate for one-time use, for one-time expense. They're targeting frail seniors who are at risk of nursing home placement and Medicaid spend down. This is one of the two grants that the Office for the Aging is working on currently, and it is a flexible and innovative way to try to keep seniors living at home independently. And services for this for the community living program target many of the same individuals that are eligible for the ISEP program and can be offered on a one-time basis to try to meet these critical needs. So, for instance, funds could be used to purchase assistive equipment, lift chairs, stair glides, minor home modifications, grab bars, etc. And we propose using these funds because the client profile is similar to ISIP clients, and this proposal kind of goes hand in hand with OTR 6 to try to respond to the critical situation that we're now facing with the ISEP home care program, which are waiting lists of up to 6 months for services. So, and I'll be speaking more about that in just a second. Okay. OTR 4 is for a part-time temporary outreach worker. And this is the second year that I've suggested using rollover funds to fund this part-time temporary position, and it was recommended as a target in lieu of rollover for $14,000. And this was to support a part-time outreach worker at 20 hours a week for 6 months out of the year to assist with home energy assistance program. The number of full-time equivalents available to assist with this, the HEAP program decreased in 2009 due to state budget cuts. And so during the last heating season between 2009 and 2010, the volume of HEAP applications processed on behalf of seniors and people with disabilities by our office grew by 39%. Okay. OTR number 5 is a request to apply one-time rollover funds to the RAP home repair funding through our office, home repair program of our office. And this is, we've realized in the last year federal budget cuts of about $7,700 in the RAP program, and the funding line for what's called last resort funding for this portion of the budget were eliminated. So, and what we find with this program is even a relatively small amount of funding, like $5,000, put aside for last resort funds, is very crucial for leveraging larger sums from other contributors as a match. If we have no seed money, so to speak, to start with, then it's very difficult to get home repairs started or completed on behalf of seniors. These last resort funds are used to improve the health and safety of older adults living at home and protect the quality of housing stock through the county. And additionally, we serve many low-income seniors living in mobile homes in the county, and they are ineligible for other grant funds, and these last resort funds are often the only resource available to assist with this vulnerable population.
So that becomes a target now?
The home repair funds? No, it's a one-time.
It says Tyler in the book. I guess my question is to Jim.
This is four or five?
This is five.
Five, no. It needs to say yes under Tyler, and it doesn't. So you'll see Tyler in every one of these columns. It's only when you see yes that
yes.
It is. Yeah, as did number four.
Yeah. And is there any reason to think that this won't continue, be needed in another year?
The last
right.
resort, yeah. No, I think it's an ongoing need, and
okay.
we, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. We do try to, we apply for grant funding, restore funds, et cetera, for this. We have not yet heard whether we will be receiving restore funds for home repair. And then the OTR number six, what I mentioned before, is to maintain the current level of funding for in-home services for the elderly. This was requested as an ongoing target request of $10,666 to support the ISEP program. This program, as you know, serves a high-need population of seniors, the majority of whom meet the functional criteria for nursing home placement. New York State cuts to this program totaled approximately $7,000, and additional county cuts to the ISEP program, which again I went to great lengths to chip away at and spare, totaled about $3,500. So coupled together, these cuts would amount to 561 fewer hours available for home care services for the ISEP program. Yes, Frank.
Lisa, I'm just reading under the description, the cause on priority three. CLP funds can be used to purchase assistive equipment, lift chairs and stair glides, minor home, da-da-da-da-da, grab bars.
Yes.
In order, does priority three, in order to accomplish priority six, must you fund priority three?
No, they can be independent. They're actually two separate programs. They're independent of one another. However, they're serving many of the same individuals, and the same case management staff are working on both of these programs. So, no, they could.
They could be.
They're independent of one another, though they would have a very beneficial effect together.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So at the time that I put this budget together, I did feel that our local ISEP program had reached a very critical point. There were 29 frail individuals on a waiting list for home care services through this program. They were waiting for 6 months or more, and the numbers showed no signs of stopping. We also had this program goes to great lengths to utilize existing resources. The levels are capped, so most individuals who are receiving home care are getting 2 to 3 hours a week. They could really use much more than that, so we had existing clients who could use more services. I checked today before I came here. Our numbers are down a bit. We still have a waiting list, but we have 11 individuals who are on a waiting list for care still, so it's decreasing, but it's still not meeting the need. So, okay. Now, I'm going to go on to the next slide, and this is my last slide here. The following five OTRs, number 7 through 11, were not supported by a county administration. Number 7 is to maintain an outreach worker, and if not funded, it would cause hours to be reduced from 0.6 to 0.4 full-time equivalent. So what was requested was $10,827 in funding to maintain those hours. This person is responsible for the Personal Emergency Response Program, one of one of two people responsible for that program, which provides medical alert services to frail elders. And this position is responsible for responding to client inquiries in a timely fashion, installing machines in clients' homes, troubleshooting when problems arise, and removing equipment when it's no longer needed. Also assists with the billing process, contacting individuals who have fallen behind in payment. And as the PERS program has grown, we served 689 frail individuals in 2009. It requires adequate personnel to staff it. And with one day per week reduced, the program, I believe, would definitely feel the impact. Okay. Number eight on the OTR list is grocery shopping program. It is a subcontract. In 2011, it would amount to about $4,600 in funding. This is a subcontract with Southside Community Center, a longstanding contract, which provides regular grocery shopping services to seniors within the city of Ithaca who are unable to shop for themselves. The program targets frail and homebound older adults. Without this program, the program serves approximately 17 frail elders per year, maybe about seven to eight, elders at a time. We would hope that we could provide those services through other programs, such as we would look to programs such as ICEP to home care to pick up that service. But with pressures on ICEP, you know, that they're all interconnected here. So.
Frank. Yes. Lisa, the contract is with Southside.
Yes.
Do they provide the individual to go help somebody shop, or do they go actually do the shopping and bring the groceries?
They do the deliveries. They have a part-time employee who does the shopping for these individuals.
Good. Thank you.
And it's limited geographically to the city of Ithaca just for scale for transportation. Number nine in the OTRs is the social funding for the Social Adult Day Program at Longview, about $2,200. This funding helps to subsidize one or more eligible individuals to participate in Longview's Social Adult Day Program. And the funds are targeted to those who can't afford the daily fee of $38. Longview's program serves elders with impairments in activities of daily living, including cognitive impairments, and the program provides needed respite for family caregivers. We would hope that this is a longstanding subcontract, which we would try to meet this need through other funding sources in our budget. If we came across individuals who wanted to participate in the day program but couldn't afford it. Number 10, this is a line out of the personal emergency response system equipment budget. This was a line to purchase medical alert machines for frail elders. Currently, we have sufficient numbers of we have sufficient inventory for the PERS program, so we took this out of the PERS budget. In the past, we had been applying for member item fund, one-time member item funding, and we've used rollover to purchase medical alert machines, and we created a line item in the budget for this year, which we're taking out now. And OTR number 11 relates to the programming for the College for Lifelong Learning, about $3,000. This is continuing educational classes for adults with developmental disabilities. Core funding for this program is offered through the New York State, what was New York State OMRDD, and that funding has decreased over time, and county share had been used to to fund the difference, and what we're doing here is taking county share out of that, which would mean a reduction in classes and length of classes and probably number of individuals served. And then finally, and not to confuse matters too much, OTR 12 that I have listed is what I'm calling database error, which were originally seemed to be in COPA's target amount and appeared on our bottom line, but was omitted from a line item deep in the Pennimation budget, so which we just uncovered as of yesterday. So I wanted to make sure that that was included in before you. So.
Where does that stand in priority?
Where does it stand in priority?
Level 1A.
Well, the funds were found. We have our planning on using. They were in included in a grant, a federal grant that we had received, the ADRC grant, and as part of travel and training for that grant, which is required as part of that grant. So,
Joe,
I think Lisa made it clear, but this does not increase her target. This is what her target. It's bringing her to where her target level should have been. So she's not asking to spend beyond that. She's asking to have that adjustment made to reflect what her target number was.
Will and Frank.
But if we did that, it would then affect our budget, though. Correct?
It would add to our costs, yes. We would have to find $4,012.
Okay.
Yes.
And I am very interested in the reductions under the PERS program. If I was hearing you correctly, Lisa, you're saying that you're losing the part-time or a chunk of the time of the person who's doing the outreach, and that you're losing the backup supply, but not endangering at this point the program. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
We took measures last year. There is a separate PERS committee. That committee and our staff took measures last year to shore up the program. We changed the fee structure last year to assure that we would have sufficient revenues to sustain the program and that the fee schedule was fair. And so basically, it's because of that the program is on solid ground. And we did receive grants last year, which increased our inventory, our stock of inventory. So we're well supplied right now. That won't always be the case, but for right now, we were looking for areas to cut in the budget. So the equipment line, I'm less concerned about than the outreach worker.
Yeah.
And this was a reduction from 3 days to 2 days a week.
Okay. Having worked with a senior who waited and only got this, I can't tell you what a valuable asset that was and how much that has saved in terms of having this person having to go elsewhere. It's just a security thing. It's very important.
Yes.
Frank and then Pat.
Question for Jill. On that $4,012, is that something that we need to balance 2010 or 2011?
It's just a 2011 adjustment.
Because it was just an honest mistake, is it possible we can, we haven't set anything from contingent fund yet at all. I mean, but is it possible to take this from, I know you're going to have, David's going to find this leftover money anyway for 2010. I mean, can we just tap that for $4,000?
Well, I mean, we could do something like that. I think what we have to consider also, though, is if this diminishes her target for 2011, that has effects permanently because that affects her target for 2012 as well.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a small amount of money. It's a technical correction. I'm sure
This will be an accounting
adjustment. When we're balancing
adjustment.
The big budget at the end, we'll figure it out.
It just seemed ridiculous to get penalized for an error like that.
I agree. And so you'll see on there that it's recommended by us as well.
Let me just tell you, no one has been penalized for anything yet because we haven't voted on anything.
Some of us have. We haven't been able to ask our questions because the acting chairman is cutting us off.
Drop dead. Go ahead, Pat.
This question, Lisa, you made me think of it, but it actually may be more for Joe. Question came up at the County Office for the Aging Advisory Board that had to do with budget, and it had to do with the proposal that you've made to sell the contract for the home health aides to a private nonprofit agency and all the various implications of that possible change. And one of the comments that was made at that meeting, and I don't know if either of you know the answer to this, but one of the things that was said was that if we do that, that it could mean that there are people who are presently receiving services who would not be able to receive services from the private nonprofit agency because there is a state law that says that an outside agency has the right to refuse patients if it's not going to be financially feasible for them to take those clients. So that if it's a high needs client and they're not going to be able to make enough money through the insurance payments or whatever, they can say no, that they won't take that person. So I just wondered if that was, if you're aware of that and if that's something that.
Yep. First, the proposal isn't to sell it. The proposal is to get ARCHA to break even. It's currently costing the county $400,000 a year. And this is really, when the health department comes here, this is in their portfolio. But it's to see if we can get it to break even. If we can't, at that point, my recommendation is we should look to divest, to sell. Now, there are a number of counties in this state that don't have county-run CHAs. I was in one of them, and I'm not aware of any situation where individuals have been denied care. And in fact, it's my understanding that there is a vendor obligation to provide care. Now, as a part of our exploration of that second option, first option is, can we get to break even? Mm-hmm. As we're looking at that second option, that is obviously a question that needs to be asked and honestly answered.
Okay.
So absolutely we have to look at that, and I know all of our goals is to make sure that people who need care get it. So again, a two-step process. First, can we get to break even?
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you done? No.
Oh.
Why don't you finish?
Oh no, I'm done. I'm done with the presentation. That was
okay.
That's the last slide.
Carol.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the FTEs are going to go up. Are proposed to go up by 0.9 FTE overall. That's back on page 46. So I'm trying to understand where you have a long, complicated budget, so it's been hard for me to look through and see where you're managing to make
I'm trying
up the
to
cuts.
Understand that too. Now, what I do know that what was recommended and possibly what is being expressed here was the part-time temporary outreach worker position. So I see that there's an increase there. Maybe that's an expression of that.
Yeah, there's an account clerk typist that is proposed to go up by 0.4, and the aging services specialist by 0.2.
Yes.
And then there's the outreach worker by 0.4, and then you're saving a 0.07 somewhere else, the senior account clerk typist. So altogether, the staff would be proposed to go from 10.3 to 11.23. So
yeah,
I get that, and that includes if we grant the overtarget requests.
Yeah, well, there's a discrepancy with the aging services specialist because actually that's, you know, there's a maintenance of effort request for aging services specialists not to increase it. Now, the account clerk typist, we had a senior account clerk typist who retired and came back to work part-time, and I don't see that being expressed here. And we then hired an account clerk typist to backfill those hours. So that accounts for the increase in the account clerk typist line.
So the question I have is to corroborate, you know, what the positions were, and then if your positions are somehow the net gain, where are you managing to get the cuts you've been asked? What are we giving up?
Right. Well, and these positions are based on the base budget, not any of the OTRs. So there's an error here, because if these are based on the base budget, then we would be reducing hours, and I can't account for this increase in hours.
And so then are there program or equipment or, you know, other kinds of services, parts of your budget that are being reduced that I'm not finding?
Well, and what's being expressed here in the OTRs. So it would be losing a 0.4 full-time equivalent aging services specialist, losing 0.2 full-time equivalent outreach worker, and losing the equipment lines in the PERS program. All of those, it's kind of lined out as to where those cuts would be felt.
And then in addition, is there rent or equipment or computers or?
No.
I don't think so. I think we're going to have to go back and reconstruct that roster for you that shows what's in the target, how it's affected by the OTRs, and where that ends.
Mm-hmm. Frank.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to remind us of what Joe just said. That was what Lisa had indicated. We're going to do earlier in the evening. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anyone else? Go ahead, Joe.
If anybody wants to stick around after this meeting and go through a primer on the document, we can make time available for that. And if it doesn't work tonight because we run late, we do have something ready to go when it's convenient for anybody who'd like to see that. It should be a 15-minute overview.
Oh, it's a shame that the two new board members.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Why don't we do it?
Anything else? I move we adjourn, and I second we adjourn. Thank you, Lisa.
Jim, did you want those plastic bags back?